This is Left Out on WRCT 88.3 FM. You can give us a call at 412-268-9728 or send email to bob@leftout.info. Next topic we have to talk about is, of course, the Social Security issue that the administration has raised in the proposal to change Social Security, actually to gut it. There are a bunch of interesting aspects about this and that have been pointed out by various writers, including Rick Perlstein in The Village Voice, and Paul Krugman, as usual, has some very good insights into the whole process. So just to mention one of the issues that's raised by Perlstein in The Village Voice, there's a lot of good points in his article, and there's a link to it on our website. One of the points he makes is that, well, among the many aspects of these proposed changes to the Social Security system is the fact that if everybody is money, their retirement money is tied up in the stock market, what is the impact of that going to be? Well, there are many consequences, of course. One of the consequences is the a massive influx of money into the corporate America. To stock traders and to the corporations that are going to get the money.
Really, the meta corporate America, so to speak, the Wall Street interests, really.
Yeah, the Wall Street interests are going to be served by this massively, trillions of dollars. The other thing that the observation he makes, which is kind of interesting, is the fact that if the average person is now more of his or her money is now tied up in the stock market, what is that going to do to that person's attitude? So, for example, anything that Many of the progressive causes that we have pushed that the left is pushing are kind of against would potentially hurt corporate earnings. I mean, such as, for example, improving working conditions, worker safety, minimum wage, allowing unions to form, environmental regulations. All of those things could be argued that they will hurt Wall Street. They'll hurt the bottom line. And therefore, an argument could be created to say against these things by saying, well, it's going to hurt your retirement account. And people will say, well, yeah, you're right. I have, my money all tied up in these corporations. If they pass these environmental laws, it's going to hurt my investment. So in that way, they skew everything in the same direction, toward the direction of the corporate interests. When I started thinking about this and read that article, I started thinking about games. And I'm interested in games and game playing, and I started a company called the Internet Chess Club, which you can find on the Internet. I'm not trying to push the company, but...
You're making a donation to Left Out in exchange for that announcement?
Right.
A substantial donation to WRCT?
Well, if the company was making any money, I would I would do that. So one of the things that one property of games, good games like chess and Monopoly, for example, just to name two, is that once one person starts to get ahead, it snowballs. And that is a positive feedback. The farther ahead you are, the more power. In chess specifically, if you win a piece, now you have more pieces than the opponent. Those pieces are now more powerful to win more pieces and so on. So the game kind of hinges on this crucial point of where the balance turns. That's what makes it interesting, because minuscule changes can suddenly, that's the question. How can you push a minuscule change into an advantage? But anyway, the point is that one, pessimistic way of thinking about what's happening is that the whole Republican juggernaut has sort of reached that point where all the advantages are now in their favor. I mean, in terms of getting, not only the White House, but Congress, both branches of Congress. The media also seems to be under the gun, completely under the control of the administration. One simple example was when CBS fired four people for publishing one possibly bogus story that was mildly anti-Bush, whereas... they went on for hundreds and hundreds of stories, thousands of hours of TV time about this completely ridiculous Swift Boat veteran story.
Yeah, right.
Nobody got fired for that. So
Yeah, so it is true, I mean, that a lot of what goes on with the Republican strategy is to get people to believe. There was a cartoon by Rob Rogers a number of years ago, which I found very amusing, which was referring to, at the time that the inheritance tax was eliminated two or three years ago,
yeah.
In which a reporter in the cartoon is interviewing a kind of a dumpy-looking fellow coming out of his out of a rather dumpy-looking trailer. Who is in favor of the inheritance tax on the grounds that this would come in handy when he hits the lottery. And, you know, this whole thing is, you know, they've got people believing somehow that there's an interesting little thing here that people don't understand the extent to which that they are not wealthy, the extent to which that who this is benefiting is not them.
Yeah.
You know, they may be doing pretty well, like a lot of middle class people, you know, may be doing pretty well. But most people, you know, grossly overrate where they are in the economic
spectrum.
That's
been studied, right? I mean, people have done
surveys.
They don't
understand, like, that how far down they are in this game and that they're not really going to be benefiting from these things at all. So there's a lot of rhetoric, like, for example, with eliminating the inheritance tax. It was already the case before anything was done that $500,000, there was a $500,000 tax-free cutoff on an estate. So, you know, that immediately covers 95% of people who die in the U.S., maybe more, larger
yeah.
percentage than that. In other words, this was something that was there only to benefit, you know, the absolutely wealthiest by far and away, way out in the tail of the distribution. But
right.
people kind of buy into it because they kind of think, oh, you know, I'm doing pretty well. You know, they're going to try to take away my money. You know, that's not the deal at all. But they're very masterful of that. So they want to make you pretend that, you know, you're just like George Bush, you know, who own all these stocks. You're a natural Republican, and it's a real shame actually, because people are being screwed by this, and I think will be if they push through this plan to eliminate the Social Security system. I mean, I think it's a travesty.
Yeah.
I mean, what's going to happen if, and the whole reason we have Social Security was because of the failure of the stock market. And so, and these kinds of stock market failures really seem bound to happen from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you supposed to do? I mean, what's going to happen to people when they, if it just so happens that when it comes time to them drawing down on their retirement money, well, it turns out to have been a major downturn in the market in the last few
right.
years. And, oh, well, looks like you'll be working longer. Also, the other thing that people, you know, the Republicans conveniently neglect to mention is that Social Security is not merely a retirement program. It's actually also for people who have disabilities and people who are otherwise, for example, children of people whose parents die. I think we've probably all, many of us have known people, for example, who are, let's say I knew people in high school whose parents died and they were receiving Social Security and that's a very good thing. And you know, but that,
yeah.
that doesn't get mentioned, you see, because I guess you're supposed to plan ahead for these kinds of unexpected disasters that could befall you, like
yeah,
becoming
right.
handicapped, unable to do your job.
The very people who are offended by Darwin
mm-hmm.
by the whole natural selection process when it's proposed as a scientific theory are advocating to implement it as rapidly as possible.
It's the best possible system, in fact, in this the best of all possible worlds.
Yeah.
Yeah, it
there
sure
was an
is.
Interesting thing on Democracy Now! This morning, in case you listened to that, you can hear that
every
morning,
morning
8,
yes,
8 o'clock on WRCT 88.3. Every morning, 8 o'clock, you can hear Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman. There was apparently an organization, Move On, which is still active even after the election. They're still doing things. One of the things they're doing is putting ads, trying to put, I think they're putting out TV ads, or maybe radio, or maybe both, for to oppose this change in Social Security that Bush is pushing forward. And it's a very matter-of-fact ad saying, you know, talking about some of the things that we've said about the dangers that this is going to, that this has, and it clearly does. In addition to not fixing the problem, that if there is a problem, it doesn't fix it, but it also creates this other huge problem of depending on the stock market. So they said that, well, anyway, I don't remember the exact wording of the ad, but it was some mild thing just stating the facts.
Oh, they
and they're trying to pull. They're trying. They've
they're
written
trying to
threatening letters. Yes.
Yes.
They've written threatening letters to the TV stations.
Oh wait, it's even better than this.
Oh really? Okay.
Because they one of the things the ad says is there's a 46% that the Bush administration proposing a 46% cut in benefits, and the Bush in this letter they simultaneously claim that the ad is not factually correct and also admit that the problem they're trying to solve is to do with the fact that the benefits are planned to double and they don't want it to be doubling because we can't afford it. So what they're doing is what this 46% cut is all about is the rise in benefits is tied to the wage index as opposed to inflation. And based on some reasonable inflation numbers and based on projections for wages, mm-hmm. that in the span of about 40 years, the amount in Social Security will double. Well, actually, because of the increase in wages.
And
so by reindexing it, they are in fact imposing a 46% cut. This is in fact true in the current defined proposed benefits. In other words, you and I at this moment today, based on the legislation that's in place, can count on a certain amount of money, and that will be cut by 46%.
Right.
Period.
Right.
Full
that's
stop.
Yeah.
Period. That is the story. That is exactly what they absolutely intend to do. But they're attacking this ad for having the temerity to say this is a 46% cut. Another issue, of course, is that they don't talk about is the amount of the cut that goes in, but for the money that doesn't go into Social Security at all, and how are we going to pay current beneficiaries and so on? There's all this business.
Yeah.
But the Bush administration admits now that their crazy privatization scheme does absolutely precisely nothing to solve any budget shortfall that there is mm-hmm. in the Social Security system. Well, that's self-evident. Okay, that is self-evident because they're just shifting money around. They're just moving it from government source and being handled by the government, but with money that's being invested very sensibly in United States Treasury securities, the most secure financial instrument in the world. And they want to move it into some crazy scheme of being invested mm-hmm. in who knows what by Wall Street operators who will take their cut. So it's clear that it doesn't change anything in terms of the overall bottom line figures of the cost of Social Security, and they actually admit this now. They actually admit it. Cheney even admits that it doesn't change that fact mm-hmm. at all. So this is just like complete nonsense. So, but the way people have been fooled by all kinds of things. It's totally amazing. You know, this constant discussion that the whole system is going to be bankrupt. It's going to be flat broke. It's going to be, you won't deliver it. It's total nonsense.
Right.
It is absolute nonsense. But they get away with it because the Republican-controlled media just sits there and, you know, plays whatever these guys say, and that becomes the truth. It's really an extraordinary state of affairs.
Yeah.
But I hope that this can be defeated because it's really incredible. Because after all, at the end, the Social Security system is a source of income of last resort to keep people from absolute destitution.
Right.
I mean, we're not talking about a lot of money. It is enormously successful, absolutely enormously successful. There is nothing wrong that cannot be fixed by very minor
right.
means.
Right.
What is really going on here, and it has been pointed out in some of the alternative press, but it's not really been pointed out in the mainstream media, is that what's really going on here is the Republicans are trying to default on government, on Treasury securities. The United States has sold bonds to the Social Security Administration for quite some time,
right.
a couple of decades.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2018, those bonds start to become due, and the Social Security system is organized to count on that
money. Right, the amount that they're putting in.
So they wish
bonds they'll be taking out more than they're putting into the bonds at that point.
Yeah,
they expect to get
that money back with interest, just like China or Japan or Europe or anyone else, you or me, who owns in some fractional way U.S. Treasury securities. I mean, if you have a money market fund, you own U.S. Treasury securities directly or indirectly. So what they intend to do, what they're really doing is they are playing you, our listeners, for a fool. They are planning to default on the debt that is owed to you because they think they can get away with it. You see, because the United States government can't default on its Treasury securities, on its obligations to Japan. It can't default on its obligations to Germany. This would be a global, worldwide financial catastrophe. This is unthinkable, absolutely impossible. But you see, your Bush administration, your moral Republicans, intend to play you for a fool and to play you for a sucker.
We can't pay for it.
To play you for a sucker who has all these worthless IOUs, which incidentally, Joshua Micah Marshall pointed out a week or so ago when Bush disclosed his personal financial statement, pointed out that to his shock, Bush is actually practically bankrupt because all of his wealth, in which amounts in the tens of millions of dollars, is in worthless IOUs, and namely U.S. Treasury securities. Now, how much do you want to bet the U.S. government is not going to default on those? The ones that are issued to him and to his ilk.
But they haven't. Have they said that they're going to default on those?
No, they don't know. They will never use these words. The whole point of it is that the Social Security Administration has bought U.S. Treasury bonds, has bought U.S. Treasury securities, and they, exactly as has Japan or Germany or Fidelity Investments or Vanguard or any number of millions and millions of other people who have bought U.S., in other words, who have loaned the United States government money.
And they did it because they knew the baby boomers were coming, and they knew that in order for the system to survive...
Yes, because in 1983, the Social Security system was revised to ensure that there would be enough money to fund all of the obligations that are in the foreseeable future. And there is no problem. There is a small shortfall in 50 years' time that can be easily handled by, for example, raising the ceiling, making the Social Security tax a little bit less regressive than it normally than it is, because there's a cutoff of at $90,000, I think, is the current cutoff, where above that amount of money of income, you don't pay any Social Security tax. All you have to do is raise that to, you know, a few notches. It's something like $150,000 or $200,000, which, you know, which is way out in the tail of the distribution.
Yeah. So if you look,
the problem is totally solved. Absolutely, completely solved.
You know, what you have to do with these people is you have to look at what they're proposing and what they're doing. Not listen to what they're saying at all. Just to understand what's going on, you ignore what they're saying.
You have to ignore what they're saying.
And look at what they're doing. And if you look at the same was true with the Iraq War. Look at the way they approached the whole invasion. How they dealt with the looting that was going on. How they they're building these 13 permanent bases there. I mean, look at those things to figure out what their
really
motivations
happening.
Are. Yeah. Look at the way they're changing the economic structure, turning it into a capitalist dream over there. This is the real purpose of the whole thing. The same is true with the Social Security changes. They're not trying to help the little guy. They're trying to help the big guys, help the stock market, help
Absolutely. Just follow the money. Look at what's really happening. Don't, you know, turn off the mainstream news. Because it's just our listeners, are being played for a fool. You're being played for a fool. You are being suckered. That is what is happening. You're being screwed by a systematic campaign of disinformation and manipulation where the mainstream media is absolutely in collusion. And this is, as you can tell from the tone of my voice, is something that I consider to be really an anger-making and extremely dangerous and terrible state of affairs. And it's being played out. In many directions, the Iraq War is certainly an example, but another is in this treatment of the Social Security, this phony, completely phony crisis in Social Security, of which there is none at all. Of which it reminds me to point to our listeners to thereisnocrisis.com, I think it is, which is, refers to the absence of a crisis in Social Security.
Right.
And also to thinkprogress.org, both of which are concerned with the Social Security issue and also with... the Bush budget process, and these are good alternative sources of information about what is really going on, where people will call a spade and say, what we're talking about is a fully intending to default on federal U.S. Treasury security obligations. That is what we are talking about here. So you're welcome to call us. Sorry, Danny, let me jump in and give the phone number. We're at 412-268-9728. Or you can send mail to bob@leftout.info. You had something?
Yes, I did have something else. Let's not take a break. A second. I was going to say something related to that, but now I'm trying to... Now I forgot what it was.
I was ranting about the intention to default on U.S. Treasury securities.
So...
While you think of that, let me mention another point. I saw a quotation from someone. I think it was a letter to the editor or a question in one of Bush's staged press conferences or meetings, town meetings, in which he's, which Josh Marshall calls the Bamboozle-Palooza tour, aptly named, was asking, you know, was all indignant and saying that, well, she, it was a woman in this case, wanted to have, you know, these private accounts that Bush is proposing, because what's going to happen if, you know, it turns out that because of dramatic advances in healthcare, I live to be 125 years old, and then who's going to pay for me? Now, the thing that's remarkable about that is, it's exactly a stock market investment scheme for dealing with retirement that will not cover that eventuality, because you invest a certain amount of money and then you drain that amount of money on the assumption that you're going to die. It's only an annuity, which is what the Social Security system is, that has any hope whatsoever of providing
for you. So
that was
provided as an argument why you have to fix
the exact
this
backward argument. It's exactly wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. It is exactly 180 degrees wrong. Okay. This was the argument that is being offered. It reminds me of many, many things, one of which was the quote I've often referred to in Thomas Frank's book, in which he comments on the person who was voting Republican in order to get back at Wall Street.
Yeah.
I mean, it's astonishing the stupidity of people. I'm sorry, but it can only be said plainly. The stupidity of people. Well, let me say again, listeners, you are being played for a sucker.
Uh-huh. Well, I did remember some of the things I wanted to say. One of the things was, well, I don't know how Bob and I are going to really survive the next 4 years based on, as Bob said,
we'll
the things getting
in
this angry. And this is
picture.
Only a few months after the, only a week after the inaugural.
Well, as you can verify, I have a smile on my face, but I am emphatic.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't quite know how to deal with this. Not spend too much time reading the papers and getting back to work and other things. But in terms of the media, the problems with the media, I mean, there is some hope. We can vaguely think of some hopeful changes that could occur with the way broadcasting works. Radio is a great medium, of course. We're on the radio. We love it. But we're on WRCT. If we wanted to get onto you don't hear us on a more powerful station. You hear Rush Limbaugh and a dozen of other, Borsch, what's his name?
Oh, Neil Bortz.
Neil Bortz. And you hear people like that. But there's more technology that's being developed, like that, where people can pick what they want to hear. For example, this concept of podcasting that's becoming popular now. So you can plug your iPod or just use a PC and just have it subscribe to various feeds that you like. If you like,
I think this is a great thing, and I only wish it could be real in the sense of people really getting their information from alternative sources.
So, I mean, the idea is that you you would, instead of flipping on the radio, you'd flip on your iPod or whatever device it is that you have your audio file stored that were loaded over the last 24 hours with your favorite shows, and then you get your news from those shows like Democracy Now or Left Out or Fight and Left Review, not that anymore, but Rust Belt Radio and all the other shows that you could, the few, but you could, if you want to, you could get them and listen to them anytime you wanted on your iPod.
So it's an interesting point, and I think you're right, but it actually ties in with an email I've received from a listener named James, who has sent an email, and let me set up his comment. It's an interesting comment. His remark is, if you go back in time, people thought that the role of public television, if you go back to an earlier era of technology of just good old broadcast TV, was going to provide this neutral, non-corporate influence information, including, for example, news.
The whole width of society was supposed to be represented.
But as James points out, I mean, he says here, I'll just read his message saying, I'm listening to you all watching the muted PBS NewsHour with Jim Lehrer. For you well know how the NewsHour has been taken over by corporations almost completely. I get nearly nothing out of NewsHour and haven't for some time. And it's really true. I mean, all of these corporate announcements, but moreover, the pressure that's been put on people, including Jim Lehrer and others, and the public broadcasting in general, to toe the line. I mean, to the point where during the Iraq War, I was routinely referring to NPR's National Pentagon Radio because of the outrageously distortion of embedded reporters, and just towing the Pentagon line, or people like Cokie Roberts, who has never heard a liberal idea that she can't condescend to, or the whole gamut, or people like Judy Woodruff is no longer on PBS. But these people are all just tools. They're all just tools of the Republicans. And it's really amazing. So even in PBS, so bringing it back around, you know, as much as I agree with your sentiment that things like podcasts, I think, well, do have a chance of getting some kind of other alternative news. The fact is, if it becomes successful, I think it will be inevitably taken over as well, in the same way that, for example, public television or, you know, much of the web has been. That's a cynical view,
yeah,
I admit.
Yeah, it is a cynical view.
That's a very cynical view. You had another point you wanted to make.
Yeah. No, I didn't have another point.
Oh.
That was it.
All right. Well, let me mention again, our telephone number is 412-268-9728. We have 5 minutes remaining in the program. We'd be happy to take your call. By the way, thank you, James, for that electronic mail. It came at a timely moment. Let's see, what else do we have on our list of subjects today?
Yeah, there's another little topic I had.
About Bernie Sanders' article.
Bernie Sanders, who's the an independent congressman from Vermont, who's been actually a really outspoken a critic, well, of the media particularly, and the Bush administration as well. He's been very active in terms of. I went to a media reform conference a year and a half ago, November 2003, and he gave a speech there, an excellent speech, and one of the points he makes is that. The fact that if you're a union member, you get paid something like 30% more than somebody doing the equivalent work who's not a union member. People don't know this fact. There's no place in the media for people to go and find out information about how do you start a union, how do you get into a union. There's no labor. And the mainstream media has zero
coverage
coverage of labor. Right. So anyway, he wrote an article, which we have a link on our webpage, having to do with the outsourcing. And the decline of U.S. manufacturing and Bush's do-nothing attitude about it.
His let-them-eat cake attitude.
Yes. So at the very beginning of the article, it's, apparently Bush said, when asked about the trade deficit, he said, oh, the trade deficit, that's easy to resolve. People can buy more United States products if they're worried about the trade deficit. Bush said that December 15th, 2004. Sanders goes on and makes the connection between that and the famous remark, let them eat cake, uttered by Marie Antoinette. Because if you go to a mall and you look around, everything that you see there, almost everything is made, well, most of them are made in China, but if not China, Mexico, Korea, outside the country in some low-wage place. And he goes on, lists all kinds of examples of products.
Levi's, they're not made in the U.S.
Levi's are not. The Xbox, of course, is not made in the U.S. The cowboy boots, the Ariat cowboy boots, I guess it's a famous name in cowboy boots.
Got me.
They're all made in China. There's another one in here which I liked because I know a person who worked at a magnet factory and got laid off. It says, as a commander-in-chief, you might be thinking about picking up some rare earth magnets for our military smart bombs and cruise missiles. Well, guess what? 80% of those magnets are made in China. So I think it's a
not like they have a real choice. It's exactly like Marie Antoinette's comment.
That's certainly true. But once this deindustrialization of America, it's already happened tremendously. It's already in full swing. It's very hard to reverse that.
And who benefits? This goes back to your early point about having the game advantage.
Right.
As a trend goes in one direction.
Right. And the more poor people have less money to put into. I mean, who's supporting the Sierra Club? Who's supporting? Who's supporting the Sierra Club? Well, all the average people. Well, all of us are going to have to work harder and spend more money just to stay alive and not be able to even contribute to these organizations. Somebody has asked us to repeat the Social Security websites.
Oh, yeah. So there were two. There's thinkprogress.org and thereisnocrisis.com, I think it is. Let me look at this right now. www.thereisnocrisis. Let me try .com. I think it's .com. It's definitely called There Is No Crisis. Yeah, this comes up. There Is No Crisis. And again, it's a summary of the baloney that's called "There Is No Crisis Protecting the Integrity of Social Security." I recommend our listeners have a look at that.
Well, let's put a link of that,
and we'll put a link to it on the leftout.info webpage. Well, we have only 1 minute remaining before we finish up for today.
Actually, we have about 10 seconds.
10 seconds. Well, thank you all very much for listening. Thank you, Molly Meyer, for producing, and we will return in 2 weeks' time.